Our second gospel reading is from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 13 and verse 25. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net of fish ashore, full of large fish, about 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. But there were so many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that had been written. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm sure many of you may be wondering, what is religion? This is probably very easily one of the single most difficult questions that anyone can come across in our modern day society. Three simple words, though. What is religion? Many of you may be thinking right off the top of your head, "Psh, that's easy. I go to church every Sunday. That's religion, right?" Or, "I believe in God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that means I'm religious, right?" Well, quite frankly, the question of what is religion doesn't have a single 100% right all the time answer. More importantly, though, it has no wrong one either. Everyone views religion differently, and that's what makes it such a special thing to each and every one of us. To be honest, I haven't quite come to much of a mature opinion on religion until recently. My whole life, I was quite literally dragged to church every Sunday. It was against my will. I thought it was just really boring as a kid, and I had no interest in coming. But as I got older, religion and the gospel really started to sink in, and it was so nice to be a part of such a loving church community and be part of this Presbyterian family. I wish it hadn't have taken so long for me to appreciate religion as much as I do now. Me personally, I have began to view religion as an escape from the hardship and struggle in my life. This mindset came into action particularly during the times that I felt alone. Even more particularly, though, when my parents were going through their divorce some years back. I found myself drowning in these self-deprecating thoughts, and there hasn't been a time period in my life where I felt more alone. Even at this young age of 13, a small part of me thought that I contributed partially to my parents' separation, but time and religion helped me soon realize that it wasn't my fault at all. Having religion there for me kept my hopes up, and I knew no matter what I was going through, there were plenty of better tomorrows to come. It's what helped me understand that maybe there's a reason things came to happen this way. It was none other than an act of God set into place for a reason that took me very long to understand. He sure works in mysterious ways. But apart from this escape that I view religion as, I also view it as something that will always be there for me, even in times that I find myself not there for it. Even in the times that I know everything will be okay in the end, I still sometimes have my doubts on religion because my mind is just set on some inevitable outcome of whatever may be happening. So easily, as humans, we find ourselves distracted by these stressful and negative things in life. We strictly see in the news articles and videos that only focus on things such as gun violence or warfare, discrimination, or some sort of abuse. You ever stop and think why no news channels ever cover stories such as "Polite New York man holds door open for elderly woman"? It's not because these things don't happen, because they most definitely do. In a small town like Jacksonville, we see these little acts of kindness all the time. But nobody focuses on these things because why does anyone care, right? As a nation, we find so much interest in these news stories that 95% of the time have something to do with violence. But it's quite obvious that violence is never the answer to a problem. As stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Notice the key phrase there, one Spirit. All of us are encompassed into one Spirit or one body of Christ Jesus. There are no boundaries or restraints on being a member of this encompassment. Like it or not, every child of our Lord makes up this one body. Violent acts on one another, physical or emotional, only hurt the body of Christ as a whole. Many people never stop to think what outcomes will result from their actions, though. And that's what causes our overall downfall as a group. But let's put all these thoughts away. Let's put this violence away for just a moment. And let me ask you, without religion, how would you manage to cope with struggle and hardship? How would it even be close to possible to deal with conflict in your very own lives? The answer is quite simple. It wouldn't be possible. That's what some of us may not realize or what we may take for granted. Whether we realize it or not, we need religion. We just do. It never fails to let us down in times of desperate need. Whether it be an ill family member, a recent loss of a loved one, a friend struggling at home, divorce, depression, or losing a job, God and his influence on us through what we call religion are always there for us when we need them the most. God's presence helps us feel as if we're not alone, as if there's no such thing as sadness, as if being a part of the darkness is nothing more than a figment of our imagination. All of us are, in fact, the light of the world. This body of Christ shines brighter than ever, but what happens when one person's light goes out? What happens when a link in this bond of the body of Christ is darkened? Let me tie in a quick science lesson, if I may. I view this body of Christ as a series circuit. In a series circuit, the electricity has one distinct path that it can flow through. Every minute detail to the series as a whole is equally important. If one small part of the circuit goes out, the electricity stops flowing and the total light instantly fades away. The body of Christ is quite similar in this regard. We are all one. We are all equal under the Lord. When one of us starts to lose hope, starts to fear that God isn't present, or starts to question their Christianity, it only contributes to fading the church's light as a whole. This is precisely why it is essential that we are all a family of Christ. Each of us needs each one of us. This body needs everybody. We are all one under God our Lord, and we must remember the importance of connectedness every single day of our lives. Amen and amen.
Well, what does my faith mean to me, and what does our faith mean to us? Those are questions that I'm trying to answer today. And one verse that has been meaningful to me recently is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, as it says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." See, we all have spiritual gifts. I love being up here because I get to see all of you in such a unique way. I mean, I get such a good view of teachers and farmers and workers and musicians and writers, People with so many gifts and talents. A congregation that has so many ways to give back the love that God has given them. But knowing what we are good at or what talents we have or skills, it doesn't always just happen overnight. I mean, oftentimes there are skills such as listening or patience or wisdom that take large amounts of reflection to comprehend about ourselves. Here's an excellent example. This year, I just love it when people come up and ask me what my future plans are. I enjoy answering this because I'm sure lots of you were asked the same question when you were my age. But the truth is that I don't know. But how many of you have truly achieved the exact future you envisioned for yourself as a young person? If you have, I am truly impressed. Life has a habit of getting in the way of changing things, of changing us. 1 Corinthians also mentions the body of Christ, that we all work together with our various talents and gifts to function as one coherent unit. But what happens when life does get in the way? What happens when we wake up one morning and we find ourselves no longer a mouth, but a hand? Or what if instead of an ear, we're now a nose? Throughout my time at this church, I have been the ears, listening to children's stories and songs, listening to what older kids have to say and what adults have to say as well. I can even remember those who are no longer with us that are still a part of my faith journey. People like Joan Bangle and just so many others, Dorothy Amare, and those who taught me songs and ways to listen. I have been the mouth of this church, like I'm speaking to all of you now, or sometimes sharing ideas in youth group. And when I leave this church, and I do mean only this physical building, not the body that we've created, because now I am going to be the hands and the feet of this church. As I travel and go elsewhere in my future, you all walk with me. You get to not only be a part of my faith story, but hopefully you will go on and impact someone else that I have the honor of sharing my faith with them. So, while this may be my last time in the pulpit this Youth Sunday, I will be back. And I will be like most of you, who do not need a pulpit to share your faith, but just simple conversations in which one can share their faith journey. It's truly amazing to see what this body of Christ has done for me. As I reflect outwardly on my new communities I will be traveling to, I hope you don't all mind joining me. And I hope to give pieces of my heart as so many have given to mine. Amen.